There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile on this Thursday. Live local talk over the next couple of hours. Of course, you're a big part of the show. Text line is open at 343-0106. We'll add a couple notes here, and we'll hear more from our news partners at WKRG. We talked about some of the school closings from earlier today. Washington County School District is dismissing classes early this afternoon. I guess by 1 o'clock, they will be out of school, and all after-school activities have been canceled. Also, Clark and Monroe counties are operating on a normal schedule. Of course, Mobile and Baldwin counties out on spring break right now for public schools. School officials are asking parents to make special arrangements ahead of the storm. Also getting this in, University of South Alabama and Coastal Community College, for old timers like me, Faulkner, Coastal Community College are closing at 5 this afternoon. We'll try to get more coming up from staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams. He talked about that window. He thought the worst window for the severe weather would be from about 7 to midnight tonight, and they have shifted the chance of tornadic activity down to our neck of the woods. You know, usually we talk about these storms. That's more of a central northern Alabama thing. But some of the forecasters looking at this now and saying, okay, this may be an issue for southwest Alabama. So we'll talk about that. Updates from Dr. Bill Williams throughout the afternoon and evening. So stay close to those, and we'll keep you updated. All right. I want to do something that is contrary to what has been going on for the last, I don't know, 6 hours or so on the show, and that is rehashing what has come out now with the Mueller report, and we will mention some of that at the end of the hour. But right now, I want to talk about something that I've wanted to talk about since I saw the first word of this come out the other day, when a new name coming in and part of the crew at Gulf Quest Maritime Museum. You'll know the name because he was our mayor from 89 till 2005. Mike Dowd joining us in studio. Mayor, thanks for being here.
Good. New name.
Yes. And dude, so what is right. What is the title at your title at Gulf Quest?
Well, it's executive director. You know, the Gulf Quest was the 16th so-called string of pearls.
I was going to ask you that. I said, do you consider Gulf Quest one of the strings?
Yeah, absolutely. And it wasn't. I didn't build it on my shift. It was conceived on my shift. And you know, it really, if you look at our city and say, what is our culture, our history, and what should we be celebrating right now? Ironically, it's inside that building.
Because that's, I got to tell you, over the last few years, that's not exactly a place that's been celebrated by a lot of folks.
No, but I think that's our fault. I mean, our fault, everyone's fault in the city.
Okay.
And if you look at our city, our beautiful city, it was founded by the French in 1702. And it was founded as a deep water port. And all of our economic basis, our culture, is, you know, we have 60 or 70 different nations celebrating here because we're a deep water port.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had international businesses recruited here in the last, you know, decade and a half, that huge $6 billion worth of investment because we're a port. And so that maritime history and everything is a large part of who we are. And I think, you know, we're a historic city,
mm-hmm.
and we have beautiful old historic buildings, and we've got the Oakley and all the historic, you know, residences and that kind of stuff. But we also are historic because of our maritime assets. And Airbus would not be here today. Austal would not be here. ThyssenKrupp would not be here. ArcelorMittal, Degussa, you know, Evonik, all of these huge industries we've recruited here because we're on this riverfront, And we have that dock down there. So the theory, the vision behind GulfQuest was, let's put something on the riverfront and let's create a riverfront that Mobile citizens can enjoy, they can go to with their kids and their families and have fun. And let's put a building together where we can educate people to this culture of ours. And we can show them that back in the colonial days, when the French and Spanish and English were here, that we owned the Gulf. We were the point, the trade point that kicked out to Europe right here. It wasn't New Orleans and it wasn't Houston. That Mobile owned the Gulf when it came to trade, and only because we've got that maritime asset, that container port, and our container port's the fastest growing container port in the U.S. 3 years in a row. Do you know that?
I'm not surprised.
Growing 3 years in a row. And the sadness of it is that we're not educating ourselves. We're not educating our children in public and private schools. We are not recognizing that, and we darn sure aren't celebrating that, or people would be lined up at GulfQuest.
Okay, I want to run through a couple things. Number one, the idea of a tourist or local tourist waterfront, and then a working waterfront. Now, I've talked about this in the past and talked about it with Mayor Stimson, and said, you know, this vision for this kind of tourist-based waterfront kind of clashes with the fact that we are a working port. Now, I will say River East, the East Bank, is most of the industry, and it's not so much on the West Bank. But, you know, it's, people say, well, we could be like the Riverwalk in San Antonio. They're not unloading stuff there,
no,
right?
You could be like that, and we'll get there. I'll talk about...
How does that get in the way of the business and just what you said?
No, it doesn't get in the way of it. In fact, if we're looking right now, I've got someone who's committed to putting a restaurant on the end of GulfQuest where the galley is now, we call it. Just a little snack bar, okay? This person's going to come in there and drop something very beautiful in there. Beautiful from the standpoint of being fun to be at, being experienced. He's going to drop some chairs and shade down by the waterfront down there, right down one block below. It's got a bandstand there that nobody's ever played on before. It's got a little thing with chairs raised up. I mean, let's put some entertainment down there, and let's sit there and let's eat and watch the ships go by. Part of that working port is the beauty of our river. You know, so
inviting people to be down there and be part of it. Okay, so the question is, you talked about it, and I'm nodding my head with you, and I talk about it a bunch on the show, the history of why we're here. But at the same time, that's well and good, but that doesn't drive people to go to a museum more than once once.
But it's not just the museum. That the mistake we've made, I think, is thinking that we've got this magnificent world-class museum built, and people are just going to come lining up down here to look at it, okay?
Right, and so
what,
you disagree
what do you go
with that
to the waterfront for? So my thinking is, I went over yesterday, or this weekend, to the fort over there in Spanish Fort by the Bass Pro Shop. Have you been there yet?
I have.
I took about 50 pictures of that. You couldn't park a car within a quarter of a mile. It was full of people, and it's nothing but a bunch of containers and benches and a little bit of shade. I mean, it was configured so that it had six or eight different types of food. They had bars there, all kind of beverages, hamburgers, whatever you wanted, pizza. And there were kids running around in that water feature, jumping in the water. There were people up under that big shade structure that was there. There were lounge chairs everywhere. Mamas and dads were building little buildings with blocks that were on this big, huge platform, nothing but just blocks, and they were up there building stuff with their kids, throwing bean bags in these little things, you know, where you throw the bean bag and throw it in the hole. The whole place was laughing and having fun. I thought, why in the hell don't we have this on our waterfront? They come over here in nowhere and stick it back behind nothing.
Well, the idea is, the idea is, it's a museum dedicated to container shipping.
Cooper Riverside Park. It runs from the convention center.
Right.
And once the developer is chosen to develop the Civic Center property, that developer is going to be looking at, how do we get to the waterfront? Because you're going to be connected now. They're taking some of the traffic overhang down, and you're going to have you've got a big condemned piece of property right now where the bridge is going over. Imagine a city park, a beautiful city park, a brand new park that's got all kind of walking, running experiences and that kind of thing. And right at the end of it on the water, maybe where Bender Shipyard is, why couldn't we put a marina there?
So these ideas...
And then you tie the marina all the way down the riverfront, past the cruise port to the convention center, and you've done more than Jacksonville did, and they did a lot.
Yeah, but people will have this reaction and hear this, that they'll go, that all seems great, but if one part of that link, if one of the pearls doesn't work or whatever, it doesn't connect all those things. I mean, here is, you're talking about the irony of, you think the font of this is inside GulfQuest, and I have a lot of folks listening right now that go, GulfQuest is a negative. It is costing the city money.
I can understand. We have not messaged properly. We have not developed properly. We have not programmed properly to have them think other than negative. They've got no context to think positive about. And that's my mission down there right now, is to turn that conversation around. And I'm actually going to ask the public. I was talking to a young woman the other day. She had four kids. And she said, I can tell you what kids would like to do when they go down there. I said, well, let's put you on a little committee. Why don't you tell me what they would like? We've got to make that riverfront vital and fun for Mobile first. And then the tourism will come.
You talked about, I think it was maybe the interview with Landyap, and you talked about putting the riverfront online. Online, what does that mean?
Well, I think when I say online, I mean, I don't know where that context was.
Yeah, it was somewhere in an article, yeah. And it stood out to me. I mean, you know, you were talking about exactly what you're talking about here.
Well, let's rephrase. Go to Norfolk.
Okay.
And go to their, quote, riverfront.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have what we have, but it's full of people. Go around the country and try to find a riverfront. Go to Columbus, Georgia. They had an old river running back a bunch of empty buildings, and now they've got magnificent condominiums everywhere and four blocks deep of people, because they lit up their riverfront, okay, and made it a place where people wanted to go. And
is one of the dangers that that we face, that maybe that place, Columbus doesn't face, is we got lots of waterfront to go to. You know what I'm saying? People are going to say, I could go down the riverfront, but I could also go down Dolphin Island and go, you know, or I could go down to Gulf Shores.
Let me give you a thought there. When the Gulf Quest was built, we built onto it a high-speed ferry dock. Now, it's built.
That was part of the contract with the feds, right? That we had to do
well,
that.
That was a verbal contract.
Okay.
The feds talked to me and said, if you'll give me a verbal, we'll agree with it, because we're doing that in three other cities around the country. It was a verbal conversation.
Okay, but that was the start. It wasn't that the feds said, hey, we think you ought to have a maritime museum. The feds said,
no, we went to them and they said, what are you coming to us for money for?
Right.
And we said, we're going to build out a riverfront. We're putting a maritime center on it, and we're going to tie this. Here's the thinking behind the high-speed ferry. Just think about this a second. Look at Seattle and Vancouver. And they got water everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And they got boats flying back and forth, taking people everywhere. They got a water transportation system that we used to have around here and don't have anymore, okay?
Right.
So think about putting a high-speed ferry. We call the riverfront, in our committee we've just put together, the front porch, Mobile's front porch.
Okay.
The battle house is our living room, okay? So let's take our front porch and let's put a high-speed ferry there, and let's connect Mobile and Baldwin County. Let's connect all the beautiful, little, unique, small cities that are on the rivers and the bays and the beaches.
Mm-hmm.
And let's get it to where a family can go down there, whether they're a Mobile family or a visiting family, and they can jump on a ferry and pop down to the beach. All of a sudden, Mobile's got a beach. It's kind of hard to find Mobile's beach right now because you get involved in this slow traffic and backed up stuff, and mm-hmm. It's a problem, a pain, take you a half a day to get there. But if you had a high-speed ferry, then we are connected by a waterborne transportation system. Now, they will say, oh, well, Mike, that's such a big old wild
mm-hmm.
thought. Okay?
Grandiose, yeah.
So was David Bronner building the state's largest office tower, buying the Riverview, fixing up the Battle House, buying the Trustmark building, buying the Van Antwerp building, and that was a 15-minute conversation that got that idea going. The next day, I was walking down the street, and I told a friend, I won't tell you who it was, everybody would know his name, I said, I just shook David Bronner's hand, and he's going to build the state's largest office tower and redo the Battle House, and I think he's going to go down there and get the Riverview, it's a piece of junk today, and he's going to redo that beautiful hotel. And I saw this guy roll his eyes up at the other person walking with us. I mean, he didn't think I saw him.
Right.
Okay? And I said, you know what? That good friend of mine thinks I'm stupid. He thinks that David Bronner is not going to come here and build that tower. You've got to think with the end in mind. You can't walk around wringing your hands talking about what's wrong. You've got to look down the road and say, what do we want to be? And we want to be a regional tourism economy with Mobile and Baldwin County hand in hand. And we want to be get 15 million visitors and have 4, 5, or 6 of them be in Mobile.
Okay.
8 million of them right now are on the beach.
Let's talk about how some of the actual implementation that will do that when we come back. More with Mike Dow, of course, former mayor of the city of Mobile, now executive director at Gulf Quest.
That lovely place, that beautiful museum. Let's stand in line.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Thursday and get right back into our conversation with the former mayor of the city and now executive director at Gulf Quest, Mike Dow. First, I'll give you a heads up. I've been telling you about years and years and years of shaving with Harry's, and I can go ahead and remind you that I love the shave, love the blade. The whole key is the blades are fantastic. And then beyond that, you know, the fiscal conservative in me, I like the half price of what you're paying right now at the grocery store, the pharmacy for replacement blades. That saves you money every month. And also the convenience of having those blades show up at the house. It's all great. And it has never been a better time to get on board. I'm actually jealous of this because it's one of these deals that Harry's does that if you're already a Harry's customer like me, we can't get in on it. But if you've been on the fence, time to jump down off the fence. Here's the deal. Right now, special deal from Harry's. You'll get their 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and travel cover for just $3 plus free shipping when you use code MOBILE at harrys.com. A limited time offer. Harry's has a special offer for y'all. New customers, rest of us are in the cold on this. New customers, y'all get $5 off a trial set from Harry's when you use code MOBILE at harrys.com. Means you get the razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and the travel cover for, that'd be $3. Free shipping when you use the code MOBILE at harrys.com. So go to harrys.com today. Join the 10 million of us who have tried Harry's. See what I've been talking about all these years. And use code MOBILE at checkout to claim your offer. Make sure to let them know that you're a listener to Midday Mobile. Helps out the show as well. harrys.com. Make sure to use that code MOBILE. All right. In a conversation now about Gulf Quest Maritime Museum, but as it has been...
I use Harry's, by the way.
You do use Harry's? Yeah. See, another... And former mayor of the city, executive director of Gulf Quest Maritime Museum. Another Harry's fan. That's good stuff. You mentioned this a second ago. It was the vision is bigger than the footprint of Gulf Quest. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
Okay.
The vision is about the vitality of our entire city. It's about the fact that we have a riverfront that we're not utilizing right now.
What am I missing? Here I'm sitting with former mayor of the city. Current mayor of the city, both of y'all say the same thing, and I say, both of y'all talk about this.
Well, we're both riverfront men.
Well, I wouldn't argue with that, and I, you know, but I'm a kind of a hayseed kind of guy that sees what's happened before, and I worry that it's going to happen again. That our riverfront is not the same as the people's desire to be on the riverfront. It's not the same as a San Antonio or a.
But that's our fault.
Or Charleston or
that's
something like
our
that.
Our city's fault, not the city government. It's the people's fault. We are not. Is aware of our beauty. What, that stupid thing that runs through San Antonio is a drainage ditch.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay? We have a real river out there.
And but we don't, but nobody, I mean, we don't have, I mean, you're talking about Cooper Riverside Park, there's events down there that bring people down there for a specific event, and I know people that may work downtown.
Do you have any music down there?
I don't go there.
Do you have anything experiential? Do you have anything that's leisure? Do you have a lot of shade? Do you have 5, 10, 15, 20 kinds of food you can eat?
I don't know, because it's not part of my habit as one of those Mobile people.
We don't have it programmed adequately,
yeah.
And it's nobody's fault, quite frankly. It's just that, look at all we've done. Think about the list of things we've done so well, you know? We just hadn't got around to this one yet. This is number 16.
But people will say, you know, that they have a sore nerve. They have a reaction to yet another project for the city. There's a lot of people texting.
Pick a project.
They were saying, well, taxpayer dollars.
Let's pick the Omnimax Theater.
Okay.
Explorium down there, okay? You can say, well, the Explorium, blah, blah, this and that. If you hadn't been in it,
It's fantastic. I'm a big proponent of.
Now the it's fixing to get a digital theater now, not the big old tape that they made 10 years ago, and you can't find good movies and good stuff. They're fixing to turn that into a digital modern phenomenon today. Okay, it's going to be fantastic.
But they will. Okay, at the same time, I agree with you, and people who have listened to the show know I'm a big proponent of getting their kids out to the Exporium, as I do with mine. But let me balance that and say, here we have the parking deck for the cruise ship terminal that is year in and year out a question.
It's, you know, full of cars right now.
It's great, yeah. But here's Carnival saying, hey, y'all's people aren't spending as much as other people on ships sailing out of other ports, so, you know, who knows? You know, it's a year-to-year thing. That is worrisome. Thank goodness it's operating again. I'm elated that the Elation is back. Okay, let's do this. We're up against a hard break. Can you hold?
Sure.
We're going to talk cruise ship when we get back. Continue this conversation, too. I see some people lining up on the phone lines as well. And we'll continue this conversation. Mike Dow in studio right here on Midday Mobile.
Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, and we'll get right back into our conversation about Gulf Coast Maritime Museum with Mike Dow. I do want to say hello and check in with staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams and get a update here about the severe weather forecasted for this evening. Dr. Bill, what are you looking at now, and kind of give us a timeline of what you think is going to happen?
Hey, well, Sean, we're looking at quite a few thunderstorms that are now developing across Louisiana and already moving into the New Orleans area. These thunderstorms are occurring ahead of a cold front that'll get in here tonight. Look for the thunderstorms to gradually move across southeast Mississippi this afternoon, and then should get into southwest Alabama this evening. What makes us a little different from some of the other storms that we've had over the last few weeks is that the upper air winds are going to be quite strong over our area this evening. And that's going to produce more of a lift, and that will create some severe thunderstorm activity during the evening hours, and with even the possibility that a tornado or two could develop from some of these thunderstorms. But I think the worst of it will be between 7 o'clock this evening and midnight. Could even go a little bit after midnight, but during that period we'll have numerous thunderstorms and some heavy rain at times. It could easily pick up 1 to 2 inches of rain through the evening.
All right, so it does seem this change. Usually when we talk about these fronts coming through this time of year, the chance of tornadoes seems to be way more a central and northern Alabama thing, but the forecast showing that's for us here in South Alabama.
Yeah, the upper air winds have really dropped far to the south, where normally they're strongest over central Alabama when these storm systems move across from the Great Plains. But this one has really dropped quite far to the south, so that the winds aloft are being strong. And so that's the possibility tonight in the evening hours that we will see a few severe thunderstorms. And you might want to alter any plans this evening because we'll have off and on showers and thunderstorms through the evening. It'll begin to taper off after midnight tonight, and then the cooler air will start to move in, and we will see cooler temperatures tomorrow, but still a few scattered showers around. But something really good now is that we're going to have some nice weather for the weekend. Looks really good with sunny days for Saturday and Sunday and highs in the 70s.
Yeah, I can't wait for this Easter weekend. Looks fantastic. But so keep ourselves aware, especially starting around 7 tonight through after midnight.
That's correct.
All right, Dr. Bill, thank you. We'll check back with you soon.
Okay, Sean.
That's our staff meteorologist, Dr. Bill Williams, with an update on some severe weather potential for our area coming up this evening. All right, continue our conversation with now, I want to say mayor, but the former mayor of the city, Mike Dow, now executive director of Gulf Coast Maritime Museum, something like that?
There you go.
Okay,
there we go.
That's what it says on the card, right?
Yeah.
it sounds like a cheerleader as well.
Well, you know, we need to grasp a vision. Okay, put it back together again of what Gulf Quest was intended to be and make it what it can be. And again, a celebration of our maritime industry and all of that history of being founded by the French and Spanish and owning the Gulf trade and being the reason with that beautiful container port, fastest growing port 3 years in a row here in the U.S., that we're the reason that Airbus, Austal, ThyssenKrupp, ArcelorMittal, Degussa, Evonik's, the reason we're so strong today economically is our maritime industry. And the board that is the board that runs that GulfQuest are maritime industry leaders.
And people will say these things are fantastic, but that's the vision and excitement of maritime leaders. It doesn't mean that people listen to us right now.
Well, they didn't listen to them at one time in Charleston, Savannah, St. Pete, Tampa, and New Orleans. They didn't listen to them. And now those cities have 6 to 11 million visitors a year. The smallest one, Savannah, has the 11 million a year visitors. And they're no better than we are.
So what happens in those places? And I've been, I hadn't been to Savannah, I've been to Charleston and seen it. Really, it's great. But here we went through with the String of Pearls, mm-hmm. putting the money in. We paid the debt service on it in the city for the String of Pearls. We did that part, but, we built it and they didn't come. Where in Charleston or Savannah, they built it and they did come. What happened? Where's the breakdown? Why going forward
I think
should people
somewhere
believe?
Along the way, It wasn't built on my shift. It was conceived on my shift, and it was about a $22 million item
right.
when it was number 16 on my String of Pearls. It turned out to be a more expensive. It went through all the ills of the economy blowing up and all that kind of stuff. It had some difficulties and all that. But all of the power of us trying to capture our maritime culture and trying to celebrate and educate people to how it is responsible for the growth of our city is a very valuable enterprise. And if we're going to project to the world who we are, how in the world can we project to the world who we are enough to want them to come here without celebrating that maritime heritage? Sure, we got some historic buildings. Lots of folks have those. Most people don't have a port, the fastest growing port in the U.S. for 3 years in a row. And they didn't get Airbus and all these things. I think we need to reach out and put our arms around that manufacturing community and say, come down here and help us celebrate GulfQuest.
Right. Well, and those
help people understand the relationship we have here between all of your shipping and receiving and the reason you chose us. And come help us make GulfQuest significant. That's where I'm headed.
I want to finish something we talked about briefly before the break. My worry was this scenario where we have built things and I can't say they won't come because right now the elation is here. I worry about the relationship that Carnival seems to be the only show in town, and we got to worry that year to year they may leave. Right now I'm very happy with the situation. I'm positive.
I agree with you. Suppose that we get our waterfront reprogrammed.
Okay.
Going over to the fort and seeing 250 people in that small space lining up in front of every one of those containers
mm-hmm.
that have different kind of food services and bar services and beverage services, seeing all the children laughing and playing, people are going to go back there. That was fun.
Mm-hmm.
If we get our Cooper Park where it's got things on it that our people, Mobile people, go to and have fun, these tourists are going to say, wow, look over there. Let's go see what that is. And they're going to walk over and buy something.
Well, that's the question. Yeah. How you've got to get these, if I would look at it just in a business plan, I'd say, holy cow, yeah, you've got all these people coming on and off cruise ships. What a great opportunity for all this traffic into these different things. But we haven't seen that as much.
Wait until you see what our city is going to transform into with this Civic Center redevelopment. We got 23 acres down there. And if you look at that 23 acres and think in terms of what mixed-use iconic stuff can be put on that site, and how does it link up to the waterfront? Can we put a beautiful city park on the condemned land under the bridge? Can we put a marina on the waterfront and get some boats and a marina mm-hmm. down there like everybody's done? I mean, look at Pensacola. They got a little small place, and it's a magnificent marina.
Right, but it's just this idea, and I'm a big proponent, if people listen to the show, of the port and the riverfront, but to me it seems like that's an industrial part of our city.
It's not. Right now it's a condemned part. There's not even a, it used to be Bender Shipyard, and now it's mm-hmm. gone.
Okay, Tony says, I'm a native of Mobile. I've lived in Savannah, Charleston, and San Antonio. Holy cow, Tony. Two things come to mind about Mobile: the busy railway and ways to get people across it easily and safely.
That's a good point.
And he says, second, alcohol restrictions. I don't know which one specifically, but...
Well, I'm on Dolphin Street a lot, and I had noticed much restriction there, but I think they do restrict it on the waterfront, and that's got to be addressed. If it is restricted, then we've got to address that. We've got to have an amenity down there that everybody can go and enjoy what they want to enjoy, whether it's a orange drink or a club soda or, you know, if they want some kind of alcoholic beverage, they've got to be able to get it down there.
Yeah, it seems silly to put all this in. I mean, I know somebody say, you should be able to have a thing without alcohol. Okay. But in reality, it seems...
They were sitting over there drinking beer in every lounge chair in the fort, right over there in Spanish Fort.
Yeah.
Right back of the Bass Pro on the edge of the woods where you couldn't even see anything.
Yep.
And they had a magnificent environment back there that if you went to it, you'd want to go back. Now, we can put something magnificent on our riverfront.
This texture says, it has to be built for Mobilians first. If
there you
I can't
go.
Take my family down there, why would somebody from Kentucky want to come there?
I agree with that. That's a great point. That's the point we finally have come to the conclusion of in our... Fixing to have three meetings now with about 20 different entities that are trying to design this thing is that we... I had a young lady I was out eating the other night, and this young lady comes over. She had four children, and she said, I can tell you what to put down there for my four kids. I says, good, you're on the committee. I want to know what your four kids would come to a couple of times a week, okay?
And there it is. You just said something that has worried me, Mike, for so long. And this is, I'm a homer. I'm a Mobile homer at the level you are. But I know how we all act. Not all of us, but a lot of us. We'll go to something brand new. You open up. I was there at Gulf Quest when it opened up. And then I kind of go, okay, we've done that. You know, that's now off the list. It's this, you know, the idea of going back and back and back.
Do you go to the beach?
We do. We go to Dolphin Island, yeah.
You go back, though.
Yeah, well, like we have
why
place
do you go
there.
Back?
We have places.
We
got to
figure out why we go and why we're going back. We got to make it make sense.
This one, just to get back to something you mentioned earlier on about the high-speed ferry, and Sean, who's a ship fitter, said, forget the Mobile River Bridge, take half that budget, and build the high-speed ferry system, Mobile to Daphne, Fairhope, and Fort Morgan. So that's kind of one of your ideas.
Well, back in my day, when I was talking to the Department of Transportation secretary, not his aide, I was told they actually had a couple of grants that could grant us a couple of ferries.
The actual, not just the
ship. Buy the ferries and give them to us, okay? Grant them to us. That was one of the discussions back in my day. Are there people up there with that consciousness now? I think Mayor Stimson will tell you that when that bridge goes across, the construction of that bridge is going to be a serious dysfunction to traffic, whether it's going to the beach traffic or whether it's businesses, people coming to work every day and trying to get home every day. And if we had a waterborne transportation system, we could pop people across the bay during the X number of years the bridge is going to be built. There's going to be years of dysfunction.
It's a good argument that the negative of the bridge build and that would be a motivator to at least get us in some people in the habit.
I go to Seattle, and there's an island I love to go to, and I go and I get on this ferry, and I sit there, and I have me a drink, I get a book, and I ride across, and the breeze is blowing in my face, and I feel fantastic. I'm looking at the sun go down, and I'm saying, this is beautiful. Let me give you another one. I went to Fremantle when Tom Bender called me and said a guy named John Rothwell was coming the next day. And when I meet with him and talk about somebody building ferries here in Mobile, he was looking at all the ports around the U.S., and I said, sure. So we met with John Rothwell, and within weeks, Jim Apple of the Chamber and myself flew to Australia to meet him and visit his plant and look at what Austal was all about, okay? I walked out of my hotel there in Fremantle that morning. I looked, and there's this magnificent high-speed ferry. And I said, what in the world is this? They said, oh, that's the ferry that runs up the Pearl River to Perth a couple of times a day. That goes to Perth. I says, well, told Jim, I said, Jim, let's get on this thing. So we got on this magnificent ferry, scooted up that Pearl River, went to Perth, got off, ate shrimp about the size of three fingers, prawns they called them, did a little shopping, drove that ferry back, and I felt like I had been to, let's say, the Magic Kingdom, okay, for lack of a better term. But that ferry trip made my day. If I had just been in Fremantle, I would have gone home thinking, what a shipbuilding town.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't think about that. I thought about Perth, the river, the beauty. And I saw Australia, you know, out the sides of that ferry and felt the wind. And it made me feel different. I enjoyed that experience. I'd go back to Fremantle.
And by the way, too, if this does happen and we get get those headphones on here, we're going to take a call. But if we get into the situation that there are high-speed ferries, the audience will tell you I've been pushing this idea a long time. There should be a set. Yeah, there they are. If we do get the ferry situation, I want a high-speed ferry that goes from Mobile to Tuscaloosa on game day.
I love it.
Takes us up the Black Warrior and we get
I'll
off.
I'll go with you if we can get it done.
Go to the ball game, come back, and get on the ferry.
All right.
Thomas is in Theodore, and he's up next. Hey, Thomas.
Hey, Sean. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, ex-mayor Adele. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, Thomas. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. I put the white flag up. I'm with Downey Thomas, the guy that used to dress up like Fidel Castro and come down and see you on occasion.
I got you.
Yeah, it's Caveman. Caveman used to call me, I guess. And when you told me to get a job, that meant so much to me. And, you know, I got a genie lamp, too, and I get those Disneyland days. But, Mike, let's look at the facts. Your string of pearls have been a failure. You haven't even paid for the first pearl yet. It won't be paid off, according to mail call, till 2029, the convention center, because you had to refinance the thing and pull out $10 million out of it. To plug other holes of your spending. We can't afford any. We're a small city. You see these football teams, these baseball teams. We just can't afford this luxury, Mike.
Okay, let's get... Yeah,
First off, many, many, many misstatements there.
Okay.
All the string of pearls hadn't been paid for. You know what the string of pearls were? Our beautiful art museum out at the park. That was a 1950s building that you couldn't put any more art in.
Right.
And we built that beautiful thing, okay? The String of Pearls was a new library system that put a new library out in West Mobile and one in Tolmanville. The String of Pearl was the OmniMax Theater, the children's theater that we did there. The String of Pearls was the convention center was another one. The cruise port was another one, okay? And David Bronner coming in here and spending $750 million to take five of our buildings and make them modern and beautiful, four-star restaurants. The Marriott Hotel, the Riverview, just won the number one hotel in the Marriott chain nationwide. Now, where would our city be without all that? We'd be a little, you know, whatever, a little town falling apart. But our tax base has increased exponentially because we built the infrastructure to make our city a modern place to live. And that doesn't count all the historic homes that have been rebuilt. It doesn't count $200 million of drainage ditches. It doesn't count all the other stuff that we've managed to do that has made us a modern city. I guarantee you Airbus wouldn't be here if we hadn't have done them. David Bronner surely wouldn't be here. You wouldn't have a brand new container port because we wouldn't have had, we'd have felt too weak and wouldn't have the vision even to build a container port. So we had to think with the end in mind and go spend some money, make some investments to make this city a competing city. And I'm proud of it today because it does compete very well.
All right. We've got to go to one last news break here. Come back. Can you hold on 5 more minutes?
Yeah,
five
sure.
More minutes. I know you got a lot of stuff going on today, but we got one last chance here and get a few more questions with Mike Dow, now executive director of the Gulf Quest Maritime Museum. And sounds like the footprint and the idea a lot bigger than just that big concrete ship sitting on the waterfront.
This is is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:55, FM Talk 106.5. Another great event at Cottage Hill Package tonight. Pretoria Fields Collective has their free tasting event going on from 6 to 8. This is in the lounge in the back of Cottage Hill Package. You go out and check out what's new from this Georgia brewery. Probably get some swag while you're at it and see if there's one of those great craft beers you want to add to your arsenal back at the house. Check them out tonight from 6 to 8 at Cottage Hill Package, online, cottagehillpackage.com. Like them on Facebook, and the tastiest way to experience is it's right there at the corner of Cottage Hill and Hillcrest. Cottage Hill Package, we'll see you out there tonight at 6. All right, and we just not enough time. That's always the story, not enough time. We'll have to do it again. Former mayor of the city of Mobile, Mike Dow, executive director of Gulf Quest Maritime Museum in studio, and just talking about your vision for Gulf Quest now that you're there, you're talking to people, you're wanting to get a bigger footprint.
Well, we're talking about lighting up the entire riverfront. We're talking
literally
about,
or figuratively?
Well, figuratively.
Okay.
Let's say.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Our entire riverfront, from the convention center, the Gulf Quest, the cruise port, and let's go on down and envision a marina down there, tied to the Civic Center redevelopment with a beautiful new city park that is iconic. What can I say? You've got to think with the end in mind. You've got to think where you want to go. And you've got a message in trying to organize and pull people together, share the vision, have appoint people to help get some of that kind of stuff done. And that's a lot of work, okay? It's certainly a lot of work. You know, when I was mayor, I had police and fire and roads and all these things. And every day you've got 20 people coming at you, a foot of mail, your phone's ringing off the hook.
Right.
The media's on your back about everything. And everybody who voted for you thinks they can come get something at City Hall. And in the middle of that, you've got to have people who are you can depend on. Well, I'm doing this for the mayor, for the city, for the people of the city. I'm out here trying to do something. I've got the time to do it. So I'm out here trying to get something done that maybe there's just too much heaped on all of our officials and all the people trying to get everything else done. I can take this one small part and help move
You're
the
specialized
needle.
Here
help
in
move
this.
The needle and help it be successful.
All right. We will talk about this as we move on. I know there's going to be times in the future when things are happening and stuff. We'll get you back in here and talk about it.
Good. Absolutely.
Right. I appreciate you being in here today and talking about it with us. It's former mayor of the city and executive director of Gulf Quest Maritime Museum, Mike Dow, with us. And, of course, this show will post, if you want to go back and listen to it and share it with others out there, it'll post on our podcast page coming up next hour. You can always go to fmtalk1065.com to the podcast page and click the link for Midday Mobile, hour number one on this Thursday, and get it there. Of course, if you subscribe, you'll get it to your iTunes or Stitcher account. I am stepping out, have a family event I am going to. If y'all are real interested, you can text me, I'll tell you. But I am stepping out, so I've got a couple of interviews, one from last week, one from this week. First up, our conversation with the Ag Commissioner of the state of Alabama about hemp farms. Rick Pate joins us next in a encore edition of Midday Mobile, and I'll talk to y'all tomorrow morning. Be good. Be okay. Yeah, just be okay.